cloudy and 65 out there. 307 at 590 WKZO. Raj Taylor in this afternoon, and boy, do we have a full agenda. Rob Sisson going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk about if where you shop makes a difference to the environment, what stores you frequent. And Rob Sisson is the president of Conserve America. And so he looks at environmental issues from a conservative perspective. At 3:40, we'll, as always, talk to Bob Larson, get an update on if there's anything changing in the relatively cool but tranquil weather pattern we're in. Right after that, we'll find out if Roger made a huge mistake when he bought a new tablet, since Microsoft is releasing a new Surface. And we'll see if I'm going to regret my adventure into the Android world. At 4:10, we'll talk with Jill Fritz. She's the Michigan director of the Humane Society of the United States. And she's going to give us an update on the licenses the state will begin selling this week to allow people to kill wolves for fun in the UP. And then finally, just before 5 o'clock, we'll talk to Dr. Philip Kaper. He's a physician from Maine who, like us, share a border with our Canadian friends and has some insights into why Canadians are passing us as, in general, being more affluent, even though they pay taxes to cover their health care. We'll find out if taxes always make you poorer. But first, let's get the show started. Raj Taylor, on your Monday afternoon. Boy, didn't the weekend go fast? I don't think there's any such thing as a long weekend. I wish time at work went by as quickly as weekend time goes by. 65 degrees on the outside, and mainly clear and chilly tonight, upper 30s out in the more rural areas, lower 40s in town. And we're going to be talking with Rob Sisson here momentarily. And a number of companies, U.S. companies, are sourcing 40% or more of their electricity from clean energy sources. And so, does it make a difference where you shop? I mentioned we're going to talk with Larry Magid in the next half hour about the new Surface from Microsoft. Microsoft gets 46% of the electricity it uses from clean energy. So does Starbucks, does even better at 47%. MetLife, 54%. Intel, 58%. But the leaders in this are Whole Foods and Kohl's. Both of them, 100% of their electricity comes from clean energy. And so there is an incentive to shop at Kohl's or at Whole Foods because your carbon footprint is smaller. Other companies doing a good job. Hilton worldwide, 94% of their electricity comes from clean energy. And Bloomberg, 85%. Staples, the office supply store, 78%. Motorola, 66%. Mentioned Intel at 58%. And I got this from a posting from Rob Sisson. Rob is the president of Conserve America, an organization that is committed to a cleaner, less polluting way of life. And they do that from a conservative perspective. Ain't that right, Rob?
That's correct.
Hi, how you doing this morning or this afternoon?
Wonderful. How about you?
I'm good. I was just bragging up a number of companies, Kohl's and Whole Foods, right at the top of the list. Why are companies doing this? All clean energy is not the least expensive way. And when one thinks of corporate approaches to business, making as much money as possible is a part of that equation. Why would Kohl's and Whole Foods and these other companies spend money unnecessarily to have a cleaner carbon footprint?
Well, I think there's a couple very strategic reasons why. One, I think there's a vast growing segment of consumers who appreciate that and would give their business to those types of companies that you know, care about our environment, care about clean energy and sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I guess I'll beg to differ with you. The governor, Michigan's governor, just came out with his report based on 6 months of public meetings and hearings that really shows in Michigan, clean or renewable energy are several different sources of clean and renewable energy are now cheaper than coal plants. So I think these companies are moving to clean energy because it is less expensive. It's more sustainable. They can bank on it for future years. And I think they're organizing their corporations for the long term. They're not just managing for the next quarter end or the next year end, next fiscal year. They're looking long term to provide really strong return on investment to shareholders.
How do you have any idea? Let's focus on Kohl's for a moment. Does each one of their stores, where there would be, in our part of the world, a consumer's power energy meter whirring on the back of their building, does each store buy its own renewable clean energy, or does the company buy it in bulk and just use to offset each individual operation? Do you have any idea how,
you know,
how they do it?
I'm just going to guess that it's at the corporate level, that they do the planning there, and it may not be possible to deliver renewable energy to any specific location, but they do try to offset. Well, Kohl's and Whole Foods show 100%, so they offset all of their energy use with clean energy somewhere else.
Okay, so they calculate how much energy they're using as a company and
correct,
then offset it in one transaction, not 1,000 individual transactions store by store.
Yeah, that would be my guess, just because that would be much more efficient from a management point of view.
Yeah. So you think a good part of it is, in especially in Whole Foods, you can see where the people who are customers of Whole Foods would have an appreciation for a business that only uses clean electricity. But Kohl's is in a marketplace competing with other companies that don't take this approach. Is it just the marketing angle, or are these companies really taking that long term of perspective in how they're going to be doing business 20 years from now?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I have a niece who just graduated from Central Michigan University this year and just started a career with Kohl's over in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And she speaks so highly of the corporate culture and the culture they're trying to create among all their employees that I believe that Kohl's management really just, they're trying to do the right thing and combine that with delivering an appropriate return to the owners of the corporation. But again, investing now or providing a stream of clean and renewable energy to your company now and planning for it, I think bodes well. Not, 20 years is really kind of a long window. I think 4 or 5 years from now. In Michigan and Wisconsin, we don't have coal mines. So every lump of coal burnt to create energy, electricity has to be bought somewhere else and brought into the state. So I think
Michigan,
investment in wind, sun, hydropower, wherever they're getting their renewable energy mm-hmm. is really smart.
Michigan imports, if I'm correct in the memory bank, about $6 billion a year of coal into our state.
Yeah, I think that's... I think fairly close, and it's interesting. I know you probably saw a video I posted from our governor, which I think is his first salvo in his reelection campaign, where he has a program where he's pushing Michigan companies to buy $1 billion of goods and services from in-state companies that they formerly spent out-state. So I could see companies very easily making that nut. By buying clean and renewable energy produced here in the state as opposed to buying coal from outside the state.
Sure. You mentioned something that is true. Matter of fact, the MESC gave Consumers Energy permission to stop billing customers for the extra cost of clean electricity, because the clean electricity is cheaper than the other electricity that Consumers Energy purchases.
That's right. I think many of your listeners would probably see on their bill or have seen a surcharge ranging from a couple bucks up to $8 a month maybe that the state allowed utilities to collect to help offset the higher cost of clean energy as those industries were ramping up. But now that we've reached a kind of a critical mass in Michigan, particularly in the wind energy area, that surcharge is no longer necessary.
Yeah. Do you know of any local businesses or smaller businesses that are taking the approach that these large companies are and trying to focus on clean energy?
I can't name any off the top of my head, but that's probably easy enough found on a number of websites in Michigan. But as I travel around Michigan and the nation, working with sustainability officers from corporations, it's very, very much top of mind. Even at companies like Consumers and DTE, they're trying to figure out how to get more clean energy into their corporations too.
Sure, on some levels, they're just another corporate citizen and are a customer of themselves for their operations, yeah.
That's right.
Well, I thank you for taking time to talk with us this afternoon, Rob. Always good to
Roger, if I might.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night on Western Michigan's campus, former South Carolina Congressman Bob Inglis will be speaking. about a conservative approach to addressing climate change.
I talked to him Saturday morning.
Fabulous.
And he is an interesting guy. And you and he sort of proved to me that we could work on this all together if we could get past some of the rhetoric on occasions.
Right, absolutely.
But, yeah, Bob Inglis, tomorrow night, it's free. And if you haven't seen the new Sangren Hall, here's your opportunity to do that.
Yep.
Hey, Rob, if people want to learn more about Conserve America, how would they do that?
They can go to conserveamerica.org or go to facebook.com/conserveamerica.
Thanks, Rob. Have
Thanks,
a good
Roger.
One. Rob Sisson, president of Conserve America, and pointing out that Kohl's, your local Kohl's, powers their stores with clean energy. Maybe a reason to shop there. WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast, mostly sunny, becoming mostly sunny. Look for a high near 66. We made that. We have exactly 66 degrees. Mainly clear and chilly tonight, a low of 42. Mostly sunny tomorrow and Wednesday. The high tomorrow, 68. The high on Wednesday, 74. And no rain in the forecast. We'll talk with Bob Larson coming up in just a few minutes. We'll find out just how far out in the future rain is. I know my wife was sprinkling over the weekend, so apparently her garden was dry. We really, so far in September, haven't had much rain. Rest of the afternoon, after we talk to Bob Larson, we're going to talk to Larry Magid. And as I mentioned earlier, we'll find out if I screwed up when I bought myself a new Android tablet. Surface, a Microsoft product, is coming out. And we'll get Larry Magid's take on that new computer in a tablet. And see what it offers that neither the Apple or Androids are offering. Is there a niche out there that's left to be dominated by Microsoft with such a late entry into that marketplace? Then in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Jill Fritz. Jill is the Michigan director for the Humane Society of the United States. We'll get an update on, when we will start killing wolves in the UP and how close we're coming to putting that behind us. And we'll also talk to her about where you can sign petitions to get that on the ballot. And we also then will talk to Dr. Philip Kaper. .38 at 590 WKZO. Raj Taylor driving you home on your Monday. If you've completed 20% of your workday, Yahoo for, or work week, I should say, Yahoo for you. Tigers play tonight, 7:45. They take on the Twins. Michael, do you know how they did over the weekend? Did Tigers win?
They took two out of three from the White Sox. They won on Friday. And then on Saturday, they had a tremendous comeback. They were down 6-0 heading into the bottom of the ninth. They scored 6 runs to tie it. And then they won it in the bottom of the 12th inning on an Omar Infante infield single. And then they lost on Sunday.
What's their magic number at this point?
Two games.
Two, the magic number two.
Yes.
And do the Indians, they're behind the Tigers, right? They're number two?
Yeah.
Do they play tonight?
Let's see here.
Well, look into that, and we'll see if the Tigers have a chance to clinch it tonight if they win and the Indians lose. But then there's that half-game calculation algorithm that Dr. Sports insisted on trying to teach me at 6:05 on a Saturday morning. And I don't know how the half game thing computes there. 590 WKZO time is 3:40 and 66 degrees on the outside. And no rain over the weekend and no rain in the future. What's the word of the day, Bob?
The word, Roger, is temperate.
Temperate. A dry temperate?
Yeah.
Ah.
Not to be confused with a tempest or something that could bring some nasty weather. I don't know. I'm reaching for straws here. There's not much to go on in terms of weather in that we are not expecting any kind of rain for the next several days, not expecting any kind of unusual early season chill or any late season heat. Just fairly basic stuff for the next few days and nights, which is actually nice. We like it when there's nothing to talk about in terms of extremes.
It's almost like doing weather for San Diego.
Almost. Almost. It's getting, you know, this is the kind of, and this is the time of year where that can happen because we're removed from the scattered afternoon and evening thunderstorm regime that we have for months at a time in the late spring and summer. And obviously it's too early to be talking about major storms of either rain or snow or any kind of lake effect outbreaks in general. So often this time of year, late September, early October, offers up the most tranquil weather of the year.
Over the weekend, my wife was watering her garden aggressively. When will my electricity bill for pumping water out of the ground subside? Any rain in the future?
The next shot of rain, realistically, may not occur until Saturday night and Sunday of this coming weekend. It's going to take till then to get our next front to come through.
Uh-huh.
Way too early to know how much moisture would be with that front, but certainly there could be showers in the late Saturday night, Sunday time frame. Until then, it looks to be just dry and tranquil. And while it is on the cool side now, tonight's low at 42, and of course it's cool today, it is going to gradually warm up, upper 60s towards 70 tomorrow, mid-70s on Wednesday, and then probably upper 70s for the second half of the week. We might even squeak an 80 out of this by Friday or Saturday before that next front arrives.
Oh, so I could be running my air conditioner and my pump in
more
the
more electricity.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Roger.
Hey, have a good one. Thanks.
Thank you, too.
Have a good afternoon.
Bye-bye.
590 WKZO time is 3:43. I mentioned that I bought myself a new tablet, and it's always scary to talk to Larry Magid following making a big electronic purchase because frequently he can make you feel foolish for doing that. Larry, did I miss anything by not waiting for the Surface? I'm sorry.
The previous version, because if you did, maybe you'd be wishing you had waited till the new one came out. But look, this is not a product that I think is going to jump off the shelves. I have to be perfectly frank on this one. It's probably better. I'm sure it's much better than the predecessor. As you know, Microsoft came out with two Surface computers last year, one called the RT, one called the Pro. The RT did so poorly that Microsoft took a $900 million write-off because of unsold inventory, and the Pro didn't do particularly well either. I think it may have done a little bit better. So they've come back with improvements, which is great. They're moving in the right direction. They made the RT, they just call it now the Surface. They made it thinner and lighter and a little bit faster, and I think they improved the display. They improved the battery life a little bit. They improved the battery life a lot on the Pro. They made it so it works better as a laptop. You know, what it is, this is a tablet with an optional keyboard Mm-hmm. It's kind of an interesting keyboard that's also a case that you attach to it that kind of made it into a laptop, but you couldn't put it on your lap because it would flop over. Mm-hmm. So they apparently improved that to some extent. But I don't know if there's a huge demand for this product. We'll have to see.
What do they see as their niche? They're coming to the party so late. What do they think they can do that isn't in either the Apple or the Android app world already?
Well, what they would say, I think, if they were on the line, is that the RT, or the now called the Surface, their $449 model, is for the average person who doesn't need super duper professional software, who can get away with these kind of lighter weight apps similar to the iPad. And they would argue that the Pro, which starts at $899, it's not cheap, it's actually inexpensive as laptops go, would be for the road warrior, people like me who travel a lot, who do a lot of word processing. I have apps that I use for my radio broadcast that you have to have either a Mac or a Windows machine to run. So I would probably be their target market, although as a writer, I really want a great keyboard. I don't want just a good keyboard. I want a really good keyboard. And so I'm going to go for a Lenovo, which have a great keyboard, or a Macintosh Air. I'm not going to go for something that makes any compromises. Why should I? I try not to make compromises in the quality of my work,
right,
if I can. You know, so that's the problem. This is the Swiss Army knife. It's not, you know, Swiss Army knives are okay knives and okay scissors, but there are better scissors and better knives.
Yeah.
And I think that's Microsoft's problem.
We're talking with Larry Magid, CBS News technology guru and correspondent. I've got to ask, when you travel, do you carry a laptop and a tablet like I do?
Yeah. In fact, depending on where I'm going, domestically, I carry three items typically. I carry my MacBook Air because it's light and powerful, and I've got the new one. I've got all-day battery life. I carry an iPad usually, or sometimes a Nexus 7 Android tablet, and I carry my phone, which is an iPhone. I rarely use the tablet. I use it occasionally to watch movies. I use it for reading in bed, for example, or anywhere on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when it comes time to work, I want a laptop. Now, theoretically, I should be jumping up and down with this Surface, right, Pro. I should say, hey, this is everything I need. I can sit there in the hotel room and watch movies on it using it as a tablet. On the airplane, I could maybe do a little light work using the on-screen keyboard. And then when I get to the hotel room and I want to write my, you know, 2,000-word blog post, my posts aren't that long, I could hook in the keyboard. Theoretically, it should be the ideal machine for me. And that's what they're going after. But guess what? I have one. I have a Surface. And I'll tell you the truth, what I use it for. When I travel internationally, I dread the possibility that my laptop gets broken or stolen or lost, so I bring it along as a spare, just in case, because if I had to, I could use it, but it's not my preferred laptop.
So it's your spare tire, so to speak.
It is my spare tire that I hope I never have to use, and the reason is I have other laptops. I have several laptops, but what I like about this one is it's very light. I can throw it in my suitcase and forget it's there. Whereas if I took any of my other laptops, and then my main laptop at the moment is a MacBook Air. Last year it was a Lenovo. I mean, I care less. I go back and forth between Windows and Mac. But it has to have a great keyboard, and it has to run serious programs.
Yeah. I take a wireless keyboard with me because I don't like laptop keyboards either. And
that's a great strategy.
So where are we going with tablets? What is the next game changer if Surface isn't?
Well, I mean, I think I can't tell you what the next game changer is. I can tell you what the last game changer is. If I knew the next one, I'd be inventing it. The last game changer, I think, is the 7, or in the case of the iPad mini, the 8-inch tablet. I think there's a big demand for these tablets that are a bit smaller, because they do fit nicely into a bag, or you can even throw a 7-inch Nexus 7, for example. I can fit it in my pants pocket if I want to. A little bit geeky, but they fit.
Yep.
And so I think that's really the sweet spot. The next thing isn't tablets at all. It's wearable computing. It's Google Glass. It's wristwatches. It's getting beyond the idea that you have to pull something out of your pocket. It's something that you're wearing on your body. That's where the industry is putting its attention. And I bet you in January, when I go to the Consumer Electronics Show, I'm going to see a lot of these wearable products, and that's what all the buzz is going to be about.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned wanting an 8-inch tablet. I gave up my iPad to get an 8-inch tablet that I could stick in my pocket. And when I looked at the iPad mini and I looked at Android, I went with Android.
Not a bad choice.
Yeah, yeah. But
I have both, and I actually wind up using the Android more often. I have a 7-inch. I actually like it better than the iPad mini because it's just a little smaller, and I can't think of anything I can do on the iPad that I can't do on the Android except run iPad apps, but then I can run Android apps, and almost every app that I care about that runs on iPad also runs on Android.
I have found that I'm not missing any of my favorite websites or applications that you're right. Android is completely competitive with iPads now as far as availability of apps and such.
Right. And, of course, they're way ahead of Microsoft Windows 8 RT. So one thing that the audience needs to understand, and if many of you do, many of you probably don't, is that there are two Windows operating systems for Microsoft. There's Windows 8, the real one, which is the one that runs everything. You know, you name it, you could go, if it goes back 20 years, it'll run on Windows 8 or 8.1. And then there's what's called Windows RT, which is a special version of Windows where the software, the apps, have to be written for Windows RT. So that copy of, I don't know, Audacity, which is an audio program that you might use, won't run on Windows RT. It'll run on Windows 8. It'll run on the Pro, but not on the Surface. And so Microsoft has a very limited library on its tablet operating system, which is why it also has a Pro. But people are I'm almost confused talking about it on the radio. And I'm wondering if there are people out there listening who are confused by this, because it is confusing.
Yeah.
That's part of Microsoft's problem. It's hard to explain this stuff to them,
yeah,
to anybody,
and
to myself.
And then they're depending on people at Best Buy or some electronics store,
yep,
to fully explain that to customers, and it isn't easy. You're right.
Well, I don't know if I could qualify for a sales job at Best Buy if I can't even explain it on the radio. I mean, you can explain it, of course, but it's easier on the Apple. On the Apple, you say, look, they've got two types of machines. They've got their Macintosh, which is a full-fledged computer. It runs Mac OS, and it does everything that Macs are supposed to do. And then they've got iOS, a completely different operating system. It runs on iPads and iPhones. It's lighter. It's just for these, you know, apps. And they're totally different. They're not even in the same category of devices.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft is trying to bridge that gap. They're trying to create all things for all people. And in some ways, even though on paper, I think Microsoft has a great idea, I loved it when I first heard about it, in the real world, I think Apple's got a better strategy.
Yeah. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon, Larry. As always,
pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Have a good one. Larry Magid, CBS News tech guru, and you hear him in the 5 o'clock news hour on a daily basis, or at least a week daily basis, here on 590 WKZO. Four to four on 590 WKZO. And Michael, the Indians do not play this evening.
No, the Indians do not play this evening. Their next game is against the Chicago White Sox. They have two home games left against the White Sox tomorrow and Wednesday, and then they got four against the Twins starting on, Thursday.
So am I correct in assuming that there's no way the Tigers can clinch their role in the playoffs tonight?
That is correct. If they win tonight, their magic number would be down to one game.
Okay. That's good to know, especially if you're a Tigers fan.
Mm-hmm.
They play right here on 590 WKZO at 7:45 this evening, where they take on the Twins. After the news block at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Jill Fritz. Jill is the state director for the Humane Society of the United States, one of the organizations working to protect the wolves in the UP from hunting, but not this year. Hunting licenses for wolves go to market later in this week, and we'll get the details on that from Jill Fritz. Also, an update on how the collecting of signatures to protect wolves is going. Then in the second half of the 4 o'clock hour, really looking forward to talking to Dr. Philip Kaper. He's from Maine, a small state. They are grappling, as Michigan was, with what to do with the proposed expansion of Medicaid. They have decided to pass on it altogether. But as a neighbor of Canada, as we are, he has some insights into just how the Canadian healthcare system works and why there's no movement in Canada to replace that that system, and why the average citizen in Canada's income is now surpassing the income in the United States, even though they pay. And I know my conservative friends will shudder at the thought, even though they pay more in taxes, they have more money left in their pocket after taxes because of their healthcare system. And we'll learn from him just if the system in Canada is something that we may need to emulate in this country. That coming up in the last half hour of the show this afternoon. WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast, mostly sunny. 66, the high. That's where we, nope, we're down to 65. Mainly clear and chilly tonight, a low of 42. Mostly sunny tomorrow and Wednesday. A high 68 tomorrow, in the mid 70s on Wednesday. And we may get back to the 80s by this coming Friday. We may need to run the air conditioner one more day.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's News from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.